This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to The Remote Life. My name is Han Torberts, also known as Handmaid's World, and today we'll be chatting with Annika Rauha. Originally from Finland, Annika is a seasoned remote creative, founder of Sunday Brunch Company, and co-founder of VC Agency. In this episode, we dive into what it really takes to dismantle a traditional career and rebuild it remotely, the mind shift from freelancing to intentional business ownership, and how slowing down and building community can lead to deeper work and more meaningful freedom. So grab a coffee, a tea, or something stronger, and let's get started.
Annika, welcome to the Remote Life Podcast. How are you today?
Hey, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. It's been a while since I've been someone else's podcast, since I'm also a fellow podcaster. So it's really good, really exciting. Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Of course. So why don't we just jump right in and you tell us about you and your remote life journey so far.
Okie dokie. I am one of those remote life people that actually started before COVID. I've noticed that quite a lot of people have gotten a jump start with COVID, but my journey was very different because I needed to really work myself up to the point where I could actually go and travel and work remotely full time. So I was originally working in a media agency. I had been there for a long time, almost 10 years in different media agencies in Finland. And I was at the time client director, so taking care of big client accounts with my media planning teams. And I was in a lot of meetings with the clients. And that meant obviously face-to-face. Pre-COVID, Teams was existing, but almost not used ever. So it was basically me in a taxi all day long, driving to ad agencies, driving to clients, whatever. It seems like a different life completely, like absurd the time that I would actually spend in a taxi in a day. Like the inefficiency is just beyond. But anyway, that was my life. So I wanted to definitely travel more, experience more. And I was always on holidays every time booking myself somewhere. So I was never spending my holidays at home. And then one of my friends did this huge leap that she actually was doing the same sort of job that I did, convinced the company to let her kind of downgrade her from the client director position to media buyer. And I was looking at her doing that thing. And obviously she went into being a yoga teacher and studying in Bali and like that kind of a very, how do you say, cliche kind of a remote thing. But I was looking at her go and I was so envious and rooting for her, obviously. But I was like, fuck, like, I really should do the same. And the good thing is that she excelled in that. Like, she was amazing. So when I wanted to do the same, the company was okay. Like, they didn't really have a reason why not to, except that they were losing me as a client director. But I was like, I'm gonna go. It's either you're gonna give me the opportunity to do other kind of job, or I'm just gonna find out the way to do it without you guys. But I had this conversation in a very friendly tone, of course. I wasn't threatening my boss, and I had a really good run there, and they obviously liked and trust me a lot. I was there for years, and they gave me this amazing opportunity to learn a bunch of new skills. I was doing search, so Google Ads, I was doing social media, buying TikTok, Snapchat, Meta, whatever, learning the new skill of being a buyer in that field so that I could leave, because before COVID, it was not like acceptable to be in a client managing position and being remote. And so I did that. And to be honest, it was so much work getting my life to the point where I could actually leave my ordinary life behind and become a digital nomad or remote, whatever you want to call it. I don't think I would have been up to doing that whole thing unless I was at the time like really in love with a dude who was living in another country. So I was like, oh, this also gives me the opportunity to spend more time with him. And I wasn't going to move in with him. I was going to travel, but I was thinking like, yo, we could just spend so much more time together. Because like, if you look back, what do you actually need to do when you start to shift your life? Like, I had to basically learn a new profession in the marketing field. But anyways, I had to sell my stuff, sell my apartment, sell my Vespa that I loved. And I was like crying when someone was like just stuffing my Vespa in the back of a van. Not the Vespa. And I was just like, oh my God, like the struggles. And I'm like a lazy person. Like, that amount of effort that you need to do when you already have a life set up in a certain way and you want to completely change it, it's a lot. So when people say to me these days, like, oh, it's so easy for you, you can do and work from wherever, I'm like, you bitch, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I did go through all that, like, doubts of like, how am I going to support myself? If anyone is ever going to hire me again, my parents were like, it's going to look very suspicious in your CV that you've been like just randomly traveling around. No one wants to hire someone like that. Like, they think that you are not consistent. They can't trust you. What if your skills go downhill? And all of those things were very much the topic of conversation during that moment. But I just had this thing of, I'm living someone else's life, like I want to experience. So that's what I did. And in the end, I broke up with that boyfriend basically the day that I handed the keys of my apartment away. Oof. So that but I've been thinking back and I'm now grateful that I did have that relationship going on then, because it really pushed me that extra mile of making this happen. So thank you, wherever you are. That's cool. But that didn't work out, but it's okay. I flew with my broken-hearted ass to San Diego and spent time in LA and Mexico. And that's how I started my journey. I decided to pick the places where what I had just loved previously in my journeys of just holidays. So I wanted to have the start of like my dream start. I knew that I don't have money to digital nomad just to buy social media and live in Santa Monica. That's not a reality, but I wanted to start there so that it could be like a celebration of what I had just accomplished. So that's how I became a remote traveler, digital nomad. Yeah.
I love it. I just love it. Stories are different, but there's always like some sort of pivotal person or pivotal job. Or yeah, you raised some amazing questions that I think people are going to be thinking already. And one of them is, how did you approach that conversation with your manager about transitioning to a remote position?
That's a good question. I think I had hinted it before that I would really like to try that thing that my coworker was doing at that time. But I also knew that it's quite tricky for a company that not one, but two of their client managers just decide to leave, because it's a hassle. If you have good client relationships, you don't want to have unnecessary changes in the team. But I then lost my favorite client due to international kind of change of the client and the agency chain. And then that kind of sunk my motivation quite a lot. And my boss was so amazing. They wanted to give me like a new client that would be inspirational and nice and fun, just to keep me motivated. So they really tried. Like, I had a very good job, like super nice. Like, if There is nothing wrong with that, but I felt bored and a little bit trapped and felt like it's not my place anymore. I felt like my life was just repeating the same things day after day, even though it was like amazing from outside perspective. I had a nice house. I had my Vespa. I had cool clients. I was doing cool things with them. I was going around in agency galas and whatever, like free alcohol parties. It wasn't a bad life. But I felt like I've seen this, and if I want to do something else in my life, I better start acting because years go by super fast. So that's, and then my dog died, and I had thought that my dog, who was amazing, obviously, I wanted to travel, but I was like, he's getting really old, so I'm not going to do anything while he's there. So when he got a heart problem, I was like, okay, this is countdown moment now. It sounds terrible, but I was like, this is the countdown. I know that I'm not gonna have my dog for a long time anymore. So I was already starting to plan, and I was thinking, I probably mentioned to my colleagues or someone, like, when my dog is gone, like, that's when I'm gonna start packing my life together and do a shift. And then that's exactly what happened. My dog died and I went to work, not like the same day, but following weeks. I was like, okay, I think it was like May, June. And I was like, okay, by the end of the year, I want to be leaving. So I gave them like half a year to figure out what to do with me. I was like, hey, like, I'm going to be wanting to leave. So what are we going to do about it? So it wasn't like, I was like, okay, I just bought tickets. I'm going to go next month. How are we going to organize this? I gave them like a long lead time to figure out. And that's what I did. And the conversation went really well. I was really nervous about it, obviously, because I didn't really have a plan B. I didn't think that with my job expertise, I could be anywhere else employing myself with my skill set if I didn't have that job. So I would have just started to look for a new freelancer, I don't know, some position. So I'm really happy that they gave me the opportunity. And now, since I'm gone from there, I started to very quickly realize, wait a minute, I do have a lot of skills that I can use even if I don't have my team around me. Like, I have a lot of experience through different fields and different kind of clients and markets and everything. There is so much that I can actually do without being a part of a media agency. But I couldn't realize, and I feel like that's something that a lot of people have. They're like, but what am I going to do if I'm going to be like, why would someone pay me to do like anything? Because I've been only like here and here. And you don't realize all the skills that you gather, all the knowledge that you have if you've been working for an industry for years.
But also, I was going to add also, but I think that we don't talk enough about how actually once you go remote, even how many skills you also pick up that are beneficial to your CV. I feel like a lot of people say, oh, but how you look like you've got gaps or you like can't hold down a job. Or I was thinking, even when I was full-time employed, I still had contract work, even though I was technically full-time employed with people. And that didn't change once I went freelance. It was really interesting how people thought, oh, why are you hopping from job to job? And I was thinking, because that was where I was at in my career, for example. It's not because I couldn't hold a job. It was simply I liked having a position for 6 months or 8 months or whatever, and I liked hopping on. This time I wanted to stick around and see the project out. That was me being full-time employed. But then you go on to be remote and actually realise that, you know, you've got much more autonomy, of course, over your position generally.
That's so true. I completely agree with you, because if you are able to keep your work together while you are doing remote, you need to do like an extra work on top of your work, I think. First of all, I do need to say that if you feel like in your current job and you're not remote, you're not the business owner, but you have a feeling that you do more than your colleagues do, for example, or your clients are constantly, you know, happy with your work, you get positive feedback, that means you are doing more than basically is needed of you. I always excelled with my client work. I loved pampering my clients. I would spoil them. And that's what I do like right now as a business owner also, because that's how I want to do. So I was working like it would be my company in a way. I didn't think that like that, but I was working more than was needed, but I was working to benefit someone else than me. But if you're a person who goes the extra mile because they want to do that, and that's natural for you, you would probably do super well freelancing, having your own company, doing remotely, because you are already doing more than is acquired. So I feel like those skill sets, being remote, then you just realize like, why was I working? Like all those years, I put money to someone else's pocket. And even though I feel like you need to learn the skill somewhere, you need to grow that. Like you might be self-learning, but since I come from agency, I really felt like I could not be here without all those years being trained by super good colleagues. And that's amazing. I couldn't have asked anything more. But when I was ready, then go and explore and do what makes you happy. And I feel like when you're remotely, you need to have so much more stress resilience than you do in your normal life. You need to adjust to strange situations. You learn how to operate when it's not ideal. You are very, like, you're driven in a way that you're not just waiting for someone else come and fix your problem. You need to be a problem.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm sober. You can't stay wallowing something for a long time. Oh, yeah, I could have, but I couldn't because you need to fix, or you're not going to be able to go on. Like you have such persistency that people that work in a normal setting, they don't develop necessarily. Like when I think about myself in my old office, when there was a time to change the table, like I had been sitting in the same spot for 2 years and then my team got moved to another place, I was like, oh, that's shit, that's my corner, I like being there, I don't want to move there. And it was like a huge thing. And surveys say that like one of the things that like affect on employee happiness is like your own space, for example, like where you are, and changing it can actually have drastic feeling of like how you are feeling in your workplace, which now sounds absolutely ridiculous that I would be holding on to a certain table. Like, what was this person? And I was like, I don't like changes. I like the personal growth that has happened over the years being remote is massive. And I can't believe, like, now that I listen to people complaining about whatever, and I'm like, that's ridiculous. Just go on with it. And I was the same. So it's something that I have definitely picked on, being remote. Someone says, oh, internet is not working today. I'm like, okay, cool beans. I'm just going to go to McDonald's and put my headphones on. Like, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I feel like there's a bit of a misconception around what it means to go to these digital nomad destinations. I think a lot of people love to say, oh, you should go to this place and this place because everyone's there, or it's really good for first timers, or it's really good for XYZ. And I feel like there is not enough conversation around, again, like this is what I asked you, for example, about where do you go for your creative inspiration? And you've mentioned that you like to have the freedom to stay put when you want to because it's your business, it's your life, it's for your client. That's how you designed your life. I feel like that's not talked about the beauty of having a remote life in that you get to pick, just like when you start a business to have your own problems. You get to pick all the things that you then take ownership around. Yeah, you get to take ownership around your life in a whole other way.
Exactly. The first year of me living remote, I kept jumping to other places. Well, I was in some place for a week, 2 weeks, max 3 weeks, I think. And then I would change location. Obviously, it's financially quite expensive, but also it needs you to juggle all the time, like pack, unpack, book tickets, plan your accommodation. Like, that's so much work if you're doing that constantly and you don't have so much time to relax. But I wanted to experience everything. And I think this is something that happens to many people, that when they start, they are more active of jumping from place to place. And then I think by the time that COVID hit, I was in London actually a lot of the time, because I was dating a guy who lived there. And I was also in Portugal for a little bit. And when COVID hit, I was just coming to stay with my parents for a while, just to come and say hi before I would just go back to Portugal. And I had trips, like flights planned and everything. And when COVID hit, and I had to stay at home, and actually in my parents' home, because I didn't have a home, obviously. So I was staying in my parents' guest room thinking, okay, what should I do next? But at that point, I was already thinking that I would really like to stay more put at a time. Like, I was quite exhausted of jumping around. And I was like, okay, I might want to have some base camp somewhere, or at least stay for a few months at a time somewhere, so that you don't feel like you need to constantly be living off your suitcase, that you could actually put your stuff in the closet and just keep doing that for a while. And so I was already shifting to another kind of remote life. I wasn't thinking of giving it up. No way. So it was like a very tragic moment for me when COVID hit. Like, everything in my life changed instantly. And I know it did for everyone, but I had just broken up with my boyfriend. I had come home just to hang out with my parents for a bit. And all of a sudden, I didn't have a place to go. Obviously, fortunate enough, I had a place to stay in my parents' place. They weren't going to kick me out. But I didn't have a home. I didn't have the relationship. Most of my clients at that point came from the agency that I had previously worked with. So all of that just shut down, because then the investment of marketing investment went down completely when COVID hit, and they couldn't be having freelancers doing any work while they had to be able to maintain their stuff. I was there in my parents' guest room without a job, without a boyfriend, without a place to go. And I was like, what the fuck happened? A month ago, I was in London having my own freelancer lifestyle, and now I'm here in the countryside in Finland without any plans or ways to go forward. So it was a very difficult moment, but looking behind to that moment, that also just really enabled me to actually take my business to another level. Because at that time, until then, I had only focused on wanting to travel, and the work was enabling me to travel. So it was financing my life while traveling. And from that moment onwards, I started to build my own clients in a very different way. I was starting to get more of those strategic planning works again, because everyone was remote. So all the other people who were managing clients and being team leads were remote as well. So all of a sudden, that old world where I had been working was doing the same remote thing as I did. So I was able to jump back to that sort of life. But just keep it remote after everyone else started to get to the office, not me. So I see that as such a fortunate moment, because I really need to think very thoroughly what I was going to do. And that is the moment when I really feel like I started to have more of a business sense than the just freelancing and living abroad sense. The mind shift of, okay, I'm going to build a company out of this instead of I'm going to be freelancing to someone else so I can get some money while traveling. And that was a big shift, I think, for me. And after that, it's been a whole different way of thinking my company. And the brand, as I know that you love talking about branding. And I think before that, it was just me. And it's still just me. I'm the only one that is working for my company. But and for a long time, I was like, why would I like naming a company? What does it matter what my company's name is? Because I have a very good network. And I'm no, like, we have a very small market in Finland. I already have the very good network of people. And like, I was thinking like, well, why would I need a specific brand on top of me? And then when I started my official company, which is called Sunday Brunch Company, I just was like, okay, it's going to be Sunday brunch because I love the vibe, the chill. Mm. Let's do stuff, but let's have fun while doing it. And let's work in a way that everyone is enjoying themselves, even though if we're doing like real work, real stuff, really cool stuff, but let's have fun while doing that. And it became more important to me than I ever would have realized. Mm. So I'm just really, I don't have any children. But Sunday brunch is like my kid. Like, I'm really happy about it. And I started to focus on more like how I speak about myself. Like, I don't say anymore that I'm a freelancer.
Mm.
I have a nickname of the industry being a media weasel, which was a really funny term that someone called me. And it can be heard as a negative thing, I think, because it doesn't exist. Like, the concept doesn't exist, but it could be negative. But I decided that this is positive. Yes, I am the media weasel. I weasel best things for my clients. So that's now a part of my brand. So I'm known as a media weasel. And I'm like, yeah, there can be like a lot of planners and media agency people, but there can be only one weasel. So that's me. So the branding actually followed that realization that this could be my life in a long term. And I want to build something out of that. And not just be temporarily traveling. So that, I think branding came after that.
There is obviously a thrill in travel and it's amazing to have that freedom. But I find that you get to a point where you start, for me, I feel like it sounds similar for you, that you want to start building something that, dare I say, feels more meaningful and something that you can take the time to, it's almost like your own legacy in a way. So you might be, being a media weasel, like at the bat, or but again, building Sunday Brunch Company. I think that is just part and parcel of, or maybe it's just part of the journey or the process of the remote life. It's ultimately the beauty is that you can pick and choose. Some people stay on and they travel for another 10 years and don't have a base, and it sucks for them. Some people like will put down roots and have a family or start a business or whatever it looks like. And I think it goes back to having the freedom of flexibility and freedom of choice in what you do.
And I think that once you've done that giant leap of going and living remotely, you've done the hardest part already once. So after that, even if you would go and stick around for a while and move back to home or whatever, like you inside you, whenever you want, you can choose to do that again or live another kind of a life. And I think that's the biggest thing that you can, like, even if you would to remote thing only for a while and then get back to your life, like, you will never be the same. There will always be that sense of, I can just pick myself and go. Like, that sort of confidence that you have for yourself to be able to lead a different lifestyle, I think that is something that I feel like is one of the most valuable things that came out of the remote life.
I think also then having that freedom, you then by proxy then find your community too. You don't have to go after specific like communities or certain destinations because their air quote is a community there. And you actually, once you start picking the places you go and once you start building the business and once you start like networking, and you then start connecting also with your community that resonate with you too.
That's so true, because I feel like during the different paths of being a digital nomad, I've been connecting to different kind of people. And once I started to be a business owner, even though that term I feel still I struggle with in a way, but now the conversations that I have and the people that I meet are also developing something for themselves. And we're talking a lot about like their journey, what they have, how they are building their business, what sort of paths they're taking. And it's super inspiring for me. And then when I was just starting out, it was more like, oh, where have you been? Was that a cool spot? And it was more like changing the experience of locations and maybe the generic lifestyle, which is also cool. But I can feel that now my interest, the truly inspiring conversations that I have revolve around building your own, something that you own and how you are doing that and how that reflects on everything. So you can have so many different lives of being a remote person, and you can find your community. There is so many different kind of people being remote. So if you are a natural healer that goes to sacred places, you will build your community around that with remote people. If you are a crypto dude and you're just going around, I don't know, doing crypto things, see how profoundly the knowledge I have about this, but you will find your community. It's about like things that attract you. And if you're open about yourself, like when you go and meet people and you tell your story and what is on top of your mind right now, you will find people that, you know, it echoes with, and you will have amazing conversations. So that's something that I never would have maybe realized.
Cool.
Staying at home, because you usually have your set of friends and your family, and you don't maybe get to know new people on a profound level anymore when you are just hustling your day-to-day life. And when you go remote and you are more open to new people, and you will get so fast to super deep conversations with complete strangers. And those are like, for me, one of the moments that I really live for.
You ought to have another coffee by the beach at some point soon, no?
We should, yeah. One of the benefits of remote life was meeting you. Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, no. I feel, honestly, again, I could keep chatting with you for ages.
Forever.
I feel let's put a pin in it for this time. And I'd be curious to know if there's anything else that people would be curious to know from a remote creative business owning a perspective. But obviously, we'll wrap up the podcast with one final question. And that is, fill in the blank, home is where?
Home is where I can casually nap and feel good about it.
I love it. One of my favorites. Oh, Annika, it's been amazing to chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been an amazing chat. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Remote Life. And thank you, Annika, for taking the time to speak with us. You can find links to her work and profiles below. Thank you so much again for listening, and we can't wait to remote work with you again soon.